Today, we read three passages from Genesis. All three are early examples of humanity disconnected from a relationship of humble gratitude. Notice how much is missing from these passages. Consider that the 2.5 chapters before this include God's creating the universe and declaring it good, and God's creating humanity into the perfect life in the garden. Feels like almost immediately we lose our way. Genesis 3:20-24. The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for the man and for his wife, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. Genesis 4:1-8. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering from the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought forth the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Is desire for you, but you must master it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Genesis 11:1-9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top up in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm guessing that at least a few of you recognize those passages. Is that fair for me to do? Genesis is a fabulous book, and sometimes we get distracted into some of the minutiae of what it says. I found myself doing the same thing with the passage. It says, and Adam, or the man, got the ability to name his wife. The ability to name is an issue of control. And so in Scripture, when somebody is doing a naming process, it's an issue of control. But But that's not the point I want to make today, so I'm trying to make sure I don't get distracted by the minutia of the scripture. Today, I want to talk about gratitude. And you will notice from the three passages we just used, we get lost from gratitude really quickly. Remember the beginning of the story? First, there's this creation that includes God saying, this happened, and God just says it and happens, right? And at the end of each day, God says, and it was good. And it doesn't take but a second for us to forget that God said all of this was good, and we start getting a little judgy. It's that dang tree, right? Oh, that's right. We want control, and so our egos want to be the people who get to make choices. And so the tree is a great thing for human beings. We just forget that God is the one who really is in control and really declares things good. And so we have this Tower of Babel where humanity tries to be God, climb up the stairs to the heavens and be God. And so all three of these stories are reminders to us. We're not God. The key for me in these passages and why I chose to use them is because it reminds us that it doesn't take but a second for us to get off course from gratitude. Have you learned yet that your brain attaches really quickly onto things that make you mad? You could be having the best day ever and somebody cuts you off in traffic and that's the rest of your day. Is that just me? Shake your head. This is yes, this is no. Anybody else have that kind of problem? One little thing captures you and takes you off course. Not the choir. The choir is beautiful. That's why they get to be up here, is because they're perfect. Oh. Anita, that was a little too loud. All right, now what was I saying? Because that was funny. Neuroscientists have figured out that this is true, that our brains almost instinctually grab a hold of things and hold on to them tightly and grab them quickly if they're negative or critical or it makes us angry or it makes us judgmental. If those kind of dynamics, negative impulses, the brain latches onto. You know why, right? Because if we don't learn quickly that something that scares us, we ought to run, we don't survive. And so this has been put into us for a long, long time. Hate, anger, criticizing, judgmentalism, negative feelings, all those things attach quickly. And it turns out that things that are positive, neuroscientists say it takes 15 seconds of intentional focusing on it in order for your brain to grab it the same way that instant. The difference is between a Velcro mind for negative things and a Teflon brain for positive things. And so it gives us an ability to understand why sometimes one little negative comment can steer 45 wonderful things. And all of a sudden, we lose sight. We all have blessings, and our blessings are around us every day. But it seems like we put aside maybe 1 week to make a list and talk about gratitude. Is there one day when you're more grateful than other days? In our culture, the answer is Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, everybody sits around the table, and sometimes folks sit around the table and wonder, what am I really grateful for? That may tell you we have a problem. If it takes you a while to figure out what you're grateful for, it may be you need to spend a little more time being mindful of gratitude. I want to blame it on my dad. My dad was an aeronautical engineer, and so I want to blame it on him that I always look at things and I try to focus on what needs fixing. Any of you all have that problem? Some of you aren't willing to raise your hand. You're not fooling me. Sometimes we listen to each other only with the, what can I do to fix this, ears. If we're not careful, if I'm not careful, all I focus on is what needs fixing. I don't know, maybe you heard it. We used to have driver's ed when I was growing up. Did you have driver's ed when you were growing up? Nowadays, the kids are just given the keys to the car. They're taught differently than we were. I remember the driver's ed instructor, which I'm pretty sure was the PE teacher. You can use your own judgmental mind in that all you want. I'm not quite sure how to process that. The driver's ed teacher said, if there are lights coming towards you, if you focus on the lights, you're going to kind of gravitate towards you're focusing on. And so don't look straight at the lights. I don't know whether that's true, but it seemed like a good idea not to swerve into the path of the oncoming car. And so I chose to think that was true enough for me to change my behavior so that so far I have not hit oncoming traffic. I'm not saying that I won't someday. I've seen some of us drive. I've heard stories. But if our brains always gravitate to what we're focused on, and we always focus on issues and conflicts and those kind of things, then we get off course. And we want to be in control, to change those things, to fix those things. And so we try in our own lives to become God to our own life situation. God gives to us from the very beginning life and calls it good, creates all things, and it doesn't take but a second for us to want to own it and control it and name it and fix it and judge it and decide which one's better on priority, criticize. Gratitude must be cultivated. It's not the instant response that stays with us. If we are not intentional, gratitude is fleeting. So I want you to consider, where is your deepest gratitude? Do you have some friend that, if you look back over the course of your life, you are just particularly grateful for that particular friend? What about flavor? Is there a particular flavor you're grateful for? I hadn't thought of that. Anybody got a particular flavor they're grateful for? I hear chocolate. Cherry. Vanilla. I heard vanilla. Strawberry. Vanilla. Pistachio. The just so you know, Mexican is not a flavor. I hear you. Just so you know, the correct answer is not mint. Anybody want to say mint? You are wrong. The correct answer is banana. Banana ice cream, banana pudding. Oh, my gosh. I don't know whether they make a banana soda. Don't buy me a banana soda. That sounds weird, maybe a little gross. How about a favorite book that changed your life? A favorite song. Maybe a favorite kind of humor. Everybody says family, and everybody says grandchildren. I am not disagreeing with you on family and grandchildren, but I want you to linger a little bit deeper. Where are the meaningful moments? Were any of your meaningful moments that you are grateful for, were they moments of suffering? Or did they all have to be moments of joy? Some of mine are really simple. For example, when I was growing up, we had a pool in the backyard. It was a screened-in pool, so it stayed a little bit cooler than normal pools. And we would swim all day, all afternoon, during the time when the pool was warm enough. And sorry for those of you who live in Michigan, it's never warm enough. On the coldest day in Florida, it's still warmer in the water than the warmest day in Michigan. I have stories about that, but I won't tell you those. We would get out of the pool, me and my friend Brent, and we would run around to the side of the house where the air conditioning outdoor vent blew sideways instead of up. And we'd sit and we'd just get that hot air blowing over. And we would sit in the warm and wait until we had all warmed up and dried up. We'd have long conversations, talk about going fishing and stuff. And then when we got too warm, or we'd run back and get in the pool. And some days we'd do that cycle two or three times. I am really grateful for that simple act of just being present and enjoying life, that childhood type life. That was, and I realize it's a childish type moment. It's not a deep, simple, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful too, having grown up in Cocoa. Cocoa is not Cocoa Beach, just in case you, oh, Cocoa Beach. Now, Cocoa, then there's the Indian River, then Merritt Island, then the Banana River, and then Cocoa Beach. For those of us who live there, that's an important distinction. I loved going to the beach, and I love the sound of the rhythm of the waves from the Atlantic Ocean at the beach. I don't know why, but it, for me, is something that I'm grateful for. Simple. An air conditioning system that blew sideways and going to the beach and experience. There may be simple things that you're grateful for. Some of the things that I'm grateful for are both sad and meaningful. This young man that I told you would get out of the pool and we'd run around. On weekends, we would go fishing together. Somebody had moved, because of the space industry, had moved to Huntsville, Alabama, and left a fiberglass 10-foot John boat. And we would put that heavy John boat on a wagon and drag it down to the river so we could go fishing. On Saturday mornings, we would be walking down the middle of the road, dragging a boat on a wagon. Well, about 10, 12 years ago, my friend Brent, who I grew up with across the street, did everything until I graduated high school with him. He was in the process of dying from throat or esophageal cancer. He had a mass on the side of his throat that was the size of about a softball. He had been a carpenter, and the time was coming that it was going to be soon, and so I got... through his mom to my mom, got invited to come down and spend time on a good day. And we probably spent 45 minutes to an hour. One of the things I'm most grateful for is that conversation. We laughed, told stories to each other about things that we hadn't ever shared with our parents, about the things we had done and remembered from growing up. We just had the best conversation. About two or three weeks later, I got to share that conversation at his memorial service. If I had just been too busy, I'd have missed one of those moments in your life that you look back on and say, that made all the difference. And then we got in trouble as adults for throwing oranges and all those things that you do, and as everybody came and says, I didn't know you did that. I am grateful, even though I would wish it on nobody else, I am grateful that I was at my dad's bedside the last 24 hours of his life. Wouldn't wish it on anybody. But I am so glad he wasn't alone, that I was there. So some things that I'm grateful for are sad things. When I went off to college, went to Florida Southern College, started in 1979, just the same time Hurricane David came through. Anybody get that reference? All right. So I'm in Lakeland at Florida Southern College, and I start hanging out with a group of folks. There are only few folks that are going into the ministry, and we're all hanging out together. And most of the folks that are hanging out together are folks who have been team members at the Florida United Methodist Youth Camp. Anybody was a team member or went to youth camp in Florida? I have a few, some of which go back a little bit farther than I. But almost all these folks were members of the team, and they knew each other very, very well. And there was one particular person who had come in the same time I did and was on the same course of study as I was. And we just kept going, I know you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. And about 5 months later, in the beginning of our second semester, we finally determined, because we had weeded out everything else, We determined that we had both been at children's camp in the third grade in the same group. He and I went through Florida Southern together, and then both of us went to Duke together, and he is still my lifelong, one of my best friends of all time. Strangely enough, his mother lives in New Smyrna Beach, about 5 blocks from where I live today. This morning, Mike is in surgery getting a kidney transplant. Finally made it to the transplant list. He didn't go on dialysis, so he kept getting delayed. But his kidneys got destroyed because he took too much Advil because he had undiagnosed gout. And so in order to handle that pain and process, but now life is better, and a kidney transplant will change his life, and now he can at least travel again, because for the last about year, he hasn't been able to leave town for fear they would call and say, you got 24 hours notice. This morning, Mike is getting a new kidney. Woo! I'm grateful for both Mike and for this morning. The last example I have is my wife. Carla is, for me, a gift from God, and I experience God in our relationship. Every day, it's not because our relationship is perfect, but it's because we've both been through enough other stuff. And I love that she says that, but I know that I'm not perfect. And so it's nice to be loved like you're perfect when you know you're not perfect. And that in and of itself feels like I get to be in love in a way that God blesses. And so I am so grateful. Do you have something, someone, some things, some moment that you are grateful for? It takes at least 15 seconds of focus on that. So here's what I want to do. My gift to you this morning is an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to invite you to shut your eyes. I want you to think of the moment, person, whatever, that you are most grateful for. Close your eyes. I'm going to watch my watch. I want you to just think in all the different ways. Let your brain wander around. And if it's music, then sing the tune. If it's a person, see their face and remember where you saw them. O God of grace and love, we are aware that we have many more blessings than we think about. That you have blessed us. You have put us together in community. You have given us opportunities, some of which we have taken great advantage of and some of which we have squandered. You have let us experience meaningful moments and meaningful relationships. Help us, Lord, to overcome that Velcro mind for negativity and grab a hold of those things for which we are deeply, forever grateful. We love you, and we are grateful for your love in our lives. In the name of the one we are most grateful for, Jesus our Christ, we pray. Amen.